It's always at this moment that I get tempted to sing the old Lion King song, but I won't. Your ears don't need to be abused that way. But the call to be ready, the call to be prepared, it's an easy enough thing to say. It's an easy enough concept, but it's one that, let's be honest, doesn't always happen as it should. When you're preparing for a trip, there's often that person, in my case, it was usually my little sister, who just couldn't get ready on time. And so you'd say, Jen, we're leaving at 4 o'clock. You need to be ready. You need to have your stuff in the vehicle and be all set to go. Yeah, I hear you, Bill. Fine, I hear you. 3:30 rolls around. Jen, are you ready? I'm getting ready. Great line. I'm getting ready. Then 3:45, Mom starts. Jen, are you getting ready? I'm getting ready. 4:05, I'm almost ready. 4:15, I got my bag. I'm on to the next bag. So 4:30 rolls around, and we're all in the car and pulling out of the driveway, and she's coming out yelling at us. Happened on one or two different vacations. I'm a little scarred, if you couldn't tell. But the fact is, there are moments in our lives when we are ready and when we're not. And the hard part is this call from Christ, this call from God to prepare and live as if we are prepared. Now, at this point in Luke's gospel, preparedness looks that certain lens way. Luke, everything Jesus is doing is getting the disciples ready. He's preparing them. It's all about making them ready for that moment. And so preparation is very big for Jesus. And he's trying to prepare them as best he can. And what happens when you try and do it as best you can? There are going to be ways in which people surprise you in how they're not ready. And so Jesus is constantly pulling them, dragging them towards a point of preparation. There's no small number of moments where Jesus is telling the disciples, his followers, to be ready, to live lives of preparation. And let's be honest, it goes even farther back than that. It's John the Baptist calling people to be prepared and ready for the coming of the King. It is at the beginning, before Jesus' ministry. It's throughout Jesus' ministry. But, of course, what are we preparing for is in our minds. What is that thing we're getting ready for? Now, you have those moments where if you don't know what you're getting ready for, you can't pack that running bag. You can't pack that suitcase if you don't know what you're preparing for. We had a moment like that when we were on vacation. We're all getting ready. We're all preparing to go out and walk around Jamestown and Yorktown for the day. You need comfortable clothes, somewhat cooler clothes, sunscreen, sunglasses, a hat, pair of shoes. Definitely, you don't want to wear Crocs with that much walking. And then we asked Barb if she was ready. And in a certain light, she was, just not to go to Jamestown and Yorktown. She comes out, sandals on her feet, swimsuit on, towel over her shoulder, sunglasses up like this. I'm ready, let's go. Barb, we're not going to the pool. So she was ready, just not for the right thing. So included in this call to prepare from Christ, we've got to be preparing for the right things. Because when you make a preparedness kit, when you talk about any form of preparation, if you aren't ready for a specific, you have to be ready for the general. That's why an evacuation plan covers so many different things. you have to prepare for fire. Well, definitely fire. Now tornadoes in Hurley, I guess. Not necessarily earthquakes. I've only had one earthquake in upstate New York, and that was when I was in Coxsackie. But, okay, high winds, snow, you got to be ready for all possibilities, right? Because we have all sorts of storms and weather, right? Even boil water notices, you got to have a plan for that. Everything you have to be prepared for. And so, as we get ready, as we prepare, how does Christ imagine for us that preparedness, that readiness? Well, he tells us that great parable of a homeowner returning and his slaves being ready when he gets there. But he doesn't just talk about that, because he talks at the very beginning of our scripture about, well, an interesting piece of preparation. Because when Jesus talks about it, be dressed for action. It's an interesting piece. Now, I'm not wearing my robe because it's going to be hot, but I had this great image in my head of me trying to sprint from that end of the church to that end, and you seeing how foolish it looks in my full robe. The reality is, you can't work in the traditional garb that Jesus and the disciples would have worn normally. I mean, you think about those robes and how they're going to catch in everything. When Peter and the disciples go to fish, do they not take off some measure of their robes or prepare them for the work they're going to do? You're going to be pulling in those nets and get it caught in your robe, and you're going to end up in a very comedic sort of situation. But it's not going to be safe. So, what would you do? Well, you had this, like, this cloth, and you'd kind of tuck your robe into it so that, and I know all of you have this almost diaper-like image, because that's kind of what it looks like. And you're stuffing your robe into it so that it doesn't get caught, it's out of the way, and you can run, you can move, you can do the work. To be ready for action in Jesus' time meant taking the time to prepare your clothing, your body, yourself for action, for readiness. There's this story of one of the men who have had the longest beards in history. And he used to run once in a while. You know how he'd run? He would take his beard and he'd roll it up. And here's the problem. Do you know how he died? His house caught on fire, and he forgot or couldn't roll up his beard in time, so he went to run and tripped over his beard. And so, next time you trim your beard, gentlemen, just remember, you're doing your family and yourself a service by preparing. The fact of the matter is, being prepared has so much more than just packing a bag. So much more than just certain things. Now, again, Jesus gives that great unknown image of the servants, the slaves of a house, sitting there and waiting for their master. Are they bored? How many of us at some point in our lives were waiting for somebody to come visit? And they were maybe that person in the family who's never on time. And you sit there and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And then finally they're there. Now, are you ready for them? Usually we are. But there has to be a whole lot of boredom of being in that perpetual state of readiness for their arrival that is necessary. And so these servants are just sitting there with one job. Be ready. They don't know if the master's coming early. He dipped out of the wedding and got out real quick. He looked at the food, he looked at the cake and was like, oh, take a pass. Maybe he stayed and really had a good time at the party. He was the life of the party, doing a little dance and having a few glasses of that nice Jesus water to wine situation? Maybe. But the reality is the servants don't know how long he's going to be. They don't know how long it's going to take. They don't know when that moment's going to be. So all they can do is be ready and wait. We had a little bit of this week. Because with the call to be ready, there's also the caution of not being ready. Now, a certain young man, who will remain nameless, had lacrosse camp this week down in Wallkill. So he had to make sure his stick, pads, cleats, water, a nice lunch, were all in the vehicle before he went. Well, how many mornings do you think that at 7:55 he was running around trying to fill up that water bottle, try to get that equipment in the vehicle, because he wasn't ready? He knew he had to be prepared. He knew he had to be all set to go. But he wasn't, usually. Now, the reality is we're not going to drive off if our kid's not ready. Or at least we're not going to tell our kid that we're not going to drive off, right? But the fact of this is not one of those parables. This is a positive parable. This is one where Jesus tells a story, and it's not about how the servants are sitting there and not ready. They're not asleep. When the master comes, those servants are all set and ready to open the door for him. It is about how they are ready, how they are prepared, how they have spent all that time waiting. Now, often I've heard ministers talk about, well, you just got to keep your car and your engine running, your car turned on. And obviously they aren't mechanics, because they obviously don't realize there's a finite amount of time you can keep a car running. The reality is being prepared for Christ, being prepared for what Christ is going to call us to do, is not something comparable to a car. Because while you keep a car on, you're going to burn up gas, you're going to burn up battery charge, you're going to kind of ruin the engine eventually. But for us, living continually, prepared to live and serve, but also for the call of God, means that we are working and following him. It means we are always ready to stand before him. And either to say, here I am, Lord, or ready for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We are waiting for him always. But the question is, are we prepared? Are we ready? Because we're not going to get a warning. We're not suddenly going to get that call ahead, that little warning sign that so-and-so is 10 minutes off, like we get on like DoorDash or whatnot. There's no warning when it comes. You don't know when God's going to be, guess what? I've got something for you to do for me. I've got a call for you. I've got an opportunity to serve. You don't know when that's going to be. You don't know when God's going to call. You don't know what God's going to call you to do. All you can do, all we can do, is make sure that we are ready for when he does. And we do that by living out the gospel. Live out and be at peace as we serve. The reality is preparation for following God, well, that's a lot easier than the just jack-of-all-trades sort of bag you have to have for an emergency. All we have to do is live out and serve as he's told us. Now, that's all nice and easy, right? The gospel's nice and easy, doesn't push us to be more and to do more than we are comfortable to do. course it is. Of course it's difficult to actually put into motion. Of course it's difficult to do that. The fact of the matter is, being prepared takes us committing to preparedness. I remember back when I was a kid and in middle school, my little brother and sister had a hard time getting up and being ready in the morning. You might notice a little strain in this constant reflecting back about certain people not being ready in my family. My mom couldn't get them off to school on time, and then couldn't get herself off to seminary on time in that case as well. So mom is frustrated and goes to the pediatrician and says, "What do I do? I can't get them ready on time. I'm running late. I'm constantly late. What can I do?" And he had been the pediatrician for almost 16 years at that point. And he said, "Barb, real simple. Have the two kids sleep in their clothes." And you know what? It worked. But we had to find a way to be prepared. Mom had to have that outside voice say, "You know what? Enough of battling your kids. You're already fighting a fight already. You don't have to fight the fight. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready. So get them ready the night before. And then you'll be ready. And then they'll be ready. And everyone will be ready." Well, the clothes we have to sleep in is the gospel. The clothes we have to wear at all times for the task is the gospel. It is the gospel, the good news, what Christ has called us to do and how to live. As we go forth in our daily lives, doing everything, if we are clothed in the gospel, if we are clothed in how God has called us to live and be and serve, we will be ready at the gate, at the door, when He calls us, for whatever He calls us for. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Amen. And now, children of God, let us give from out of the blessings He has given.